Have your Bibles, Philippians chapter number 4. I'll begin reading verse number 10, read through verse 13. Some verses I pray that will be a help and encouragement to us today. The Bible says, beginning in verse number 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein ye have also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. And everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. And then chooses my life first, and maybe yours too. But verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But we find in this passage of scriptures, Paul writing, but Christ is all we need. We go through life, heartache, disappointments, tragedies, through it all. And there's another song. In fact, you can find a song just about everything. But through it all, God has been with us. He's guided and directed us. He's met our every need. And truly, I don't know where I would have been in life without the Christ and what he's done in my life. I'm so thankful the day I got saved, but I'm even more thankful the day that after I was saved and got away from the Lord, that I came back to the place of understanding that Christ was all I needed. And I pray today that you'll think along the lines today as we preach the message of finding contentment in Christ. Finding contentment in Christ. Somebody said, well, I just can't be contented. Well, if you are contented in Christ, you can be contented, and he'll supply your every need. Now, Paul is writing these words, and it's quite interesting. And I've preached on the subjects of like this before and even from this passage. But Paul's in prison. He's writing. He's the Philippians. It's one of Paul's prison epistles. He's writing this while he's in prison. I don't know about you. I've never, thank the Lord, I've never gone to prison, got locked up other than just to go in and preach or something. But normally, I can say, thank the Lord, I never was put there. But I've been there. I've been to visit. I've been to see. And I know it's no place I want to be, nothing that I want to do. But the book of Philippians stands out among all the others because here he is in prison, going through dire circumstances. And what does he say in verse 4? He said in verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Friend, I'm going to tell you today, there's no reason we can't be happy today. There's no reason we shouldn't be happy today. There's no reason we should not be contented with what God has done for us. He was in dire circumstances. He was in the worst possible position or situation that you could get in. And not only was he in jail, but he was chained to two Roman soldiers on either side of him. And yet he writes these things, encouraging us to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Why was he there? He was there for being a preacher. I'm thankful for the 50 years that I've been serving the Lord. I'm glad to say this. I've never been arrested for preaching. I've never honestly been harassed for preaching, although I do believe it happens in places all around us. But when Paul wrote this, he was going through a horrible situation. I doubt the food was very good. They didn't have the dietary things that we have today. Sanitation in that prison was probably non-existent. And there he lacked the freedom to go to and from in the things that he did. He was in prison because he was preaching the Word of God. He had been slandered by other believers who looked upon him, looked down upon him, and didn't like him. But Paul talks about the contentment that he had in the worst condition of life. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know what your condition is this morning, and I'm sure some of you have some dire circumstances. But I don't believe any of us could say that anything we have today relates to anything like Paul had in the day that he did. But you know what he said? He said, I'm content, and I'm going to be content in that area. Look at verse 11, if you would. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Listen, what he was saying, the word content in verse 11, it means being satisfied with what one has. Regardless of how much you have or how small it might be, rejoicing in what you have. I promise you, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I promise you today there's people today that don't have near as what you and I have, and they're much more happier than we are. In fact, I sometimes believe the things that we get really corrupt us to the point of where we realize that and understand it, and we get to the point where we're just not contented because of things that we want in our area. Let me ask you a few questions this morning. Don't answer them. I don't need you to do that. We'd be here all day. But are you contented? I'm not today. I've got to worry with myself, and I do have a problem there sometimes. I have to get myself in line as well. But today, are you contented where you're at? Are you satisfied with the life that you're living? I know many people today are not satisfied with certain things, not satisfied with a job or certain things that go on in their life. But are you satisfied with your life? And is your life in Christ? Can you face tragedy, loss, disaster? Years ago, we lost my son in a car accident. One of the hardest things I ever did in my life. But I can truly say, in that day and in this day, I can find contentment in knowing that he was in God's hands and it was God's will. And knowing that God makes no mistakes, I'm glad today. Can you do that? Can you have a satisfied heart? Or are you a complainer or a grumbler or a negative person, critical about any and everything? Do you find dissatisfied with life and circumstances? If you're a contented person, you're the wealthiest person in the world. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. I think of those words. Someone said that contentment softens our privations, sweetens our provisions, and makes a cottage as fair as a castle. In other words, you may live in the meagerest of houses, but it's your castle, and God's blessed you be with it. We live in a world today of many people that are disgruntled and dissatisfied. I read often of the suicide rate among young people, young adults, dope and stuff that's going on around about us. And it seems to fill our world with discontent. People are always looking. In fact, I love it when I am able to lead somebody to Christ or talk to them about the Lord and say they say this. They said, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. And truly today, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have the Lord. But I tell you, I find contentment. Things are not always going good. Not all things are not always as I'd love for them to be. But when you're contented, you'll enjoy, you'll be saved, you'll enjoy your wealth, you'll possess every reason to be happy, but most of all, you'll still, many people still lack contentment. Rather than living our lives in a peaceful, grateful contentment, our lives are often filled with complaining and dissatisfaction. We complain when the children are noisy, but you ought to thank God for the children that God give to you. Sometimes we're dissatisfied with a spouse because the years have changed their appearance. Sometimes we complain about our homes, but there's thousands of people that don't even have a home. I saw one this morning. I don't know his circumstances. I don't know all of them circumstances, but I see them side the road all the time, and I pretty sure get the impression that most of them are homeless. I thank God for my home, and I'm grateful for a place that God's given to me. We gripe about our work, but yet there's a lot of people that have no jobs. Now, I believe today that there's a lot of jobs out there, and I believe that some people, if they really looked hard enough, they could find one. However, today, just be thankful that you got a job, a good-paying job, something that'll meet your needs. We grumble about our cars, but many people today are riding bicycles. Many of them riding electric bicycles. But that's an inside joke. Brother Keith was telling us one day how he exercised, and I told the congregation he had an electric bike. So. But anyway, I just had to take that. But we groan about our cars, yet many have never seen a car. We mourn about our lot in life. But we're far better off than those around about us, many that are around about us. I tell you, I've had some physical problems, and I'm grateful that God has blessed me in doing some better. And I'm praying that they can get to the root of it. And many of you are doing the same thing. But I found, in spite of it all, when I go to the doctor's office, you know, that's one thing, it'll change your attitude when you go to the doctor's office a lot. Go to the doctor's office a lot, you'll see people a whole lot worse off than you are and make you grateful for what you know in your life. We need to learn to be content in Jesus Christ. Benjamin Franklin said this. He said, contentment makes poor man rich, and discontentment makes rich man poor. In Proverbs 13, verse 7, there is that maketh himself rich, yet had nothing. There is that that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Paul is using the example, and what I want to preach to you today is finding contentment in Christ, the lessons Paul learned along the way. Notice, first of all, the requirements of contentment in verse 10. He said in verse 10, but I rejoice greatly in that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. What he means by this, your care for me has flourished again. These people had supported Brother Paul. I call him our brother because he is. But the Apostle Paul, and they gave to him, like kind of like we do to missionaries. Thank the Lord we're able. And boy, didn't we see a perfect picture of that this year. But we see the need of supporting a missionary. And that's the way Paul was getting his mission money. But there came a day when this church was not able to do it. And so they had to suspend it for a while. They felt bad about it, I'm sure, and did not like it. But now we find, I believe, he says, you've flourished again, meaning that they've come to the place now where they could take him on and support him again with the needs that he had. But here we find Paul being very grateful. He was grateful whether they support him or didn't support him. And by the way, most missionaries, they'll be that way. They'll know that God will give them exactly what they need. He'll take care of them. He'll supply their needs. But yet, here we find them flourishing. Paul was grateful, but he wasn't saying, listen, I can't make it without it. Because he had God on his side. He knew even if they didn't. And by the way, even if our church did not support missionaries, God would find a church and some people that did, and he'd bless them. But I believe God wants to bless us because we're able to give to the missionaries that they might go around the world. And he wanted them to know. He wanted them to know that he had learned contentment. I'm good with it or I'm good without it. Thank you for it. Thank you. I see and I'm grateful that you flourish. But literally, contentment in Christ was the reward of of Paul's spiritual intense discipline that he had in his life. No matter what state he was in, we kid a lot of times, say he said, no matter what state I'm in, people like to use that as Georgia, Alabama, or Florida. Well, no, we're not doing that. He said, whatever state I'm in, what state's he in? He may be hungry, he may be full, but he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. He had accepted adversity with cheerful resignation. He had come to the point that said, I might have it. And by the way, he did have a lot of adversity. He respected prosperity with careful moderation, no matter what state he was in. If he was rich, he was careful with it, that he did what was right with it. If he was poor, he was still fine because with cheerful resignation, my life is in the Lord. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. I'll give that verse in a minute, but you'll probably hear it before I get there. My God shall supply all your needs. You said, I don't have nothing to be cheerful about. I don't have nothing to think of, thank God for about him in my life right now. I'm going through. You just don't understand what I'm going through. I don't, but if you know Christ, he's all you need. And he will give you the contentment that you need in your life as you serve him and are respectful toward him. He was content in his ultimate satisfaction, being centered in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 13:5, his attitude is beautifully articulated. He said, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. I tell you this morning, I won't get a little bit excited, and I'm going to have to hold the weight for it. They won't let me leave the pulpit right now. But I tell you what, when I get to thinking about that, be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee. Now, do we believe him or not? If we believe him, we need to be content in the life that he's given to us. It may not be the best life that we think we ought to have, but I promise you, if you're a child of God, it's the best life God thinks you ought to have, and he will lead you and guide your steps along the way. But the key to the whole thing is Paul is saying, I've learned. You know, people go through life and sometimes don't learn anything. I was not real smart in school. At least I think maybe I did fairly well, but I played too much, and that kind of hindered things. And I probably wasn't the smartest kid in the class. But I tell you what, since high school, I sure have learned a lot of things. I've learned to gain knowledge. And by the way, that's what that means. To gain knowledge through trials and blessings is the way we obtain knowledge. Peter learned many valuable lessons. You read about Paul. In fact, I challenge you to go home today and read the whole book of Philippians. Only 4 chapters. Won't take you long. But Paul was saying, I've learned some very valuable lessons by being in prison. And I'm not worried about it. The Lord, if he wants me out, he'll get me out. But until he does, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. God never wastes an experience. Every event that God allows to come in our life is to make us more dependent upon him and to understand that he literally is all we need. In spite of circumstances, in spite of difficulties along the way, every event in life, good or bad, is part of God's training for you and I to lead us in the way that he'd have us to go. Here's the verse that I've clung to for years in Romans 8:28. He said, "We know that all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren." This passage reveals contentment. In fact, if this is all the passage we had to say anything about contentment, it's enough. Because it says we know that all things work together for the good of them love God. And the fact is not whether he'll do what he said he'd do, but where we're going to do what he intends for us to do. And that's to be saved by the grace of God. Be content with where he's put us and what he's done for us. I don't have time to mention it today, but I mentioned missionaries a while ago. Thank God for missionaries. They probably sacrifice and suffer more than anybody we know. They go to foreign fields. They go all over the country. Brother Steve and them, they riding in a bus. I can't imagine that. But I believe they're content. They seem to be, and I believe they are. And I think today that there's many missionaries that are more content than we are because they've learned the key. It's all in Christ. Once the child's wealthy parents brought him to an older believer who lived in poverty. And for a few moments when they came, it was a little girl. The man looked at her. And then gently stroking her lovely blonde curls, he said, "My child, may God make this world as beautiful as you, as it has been to me. My child, make this world as beautiful to you as it has been to me." What do you see when you look out in the world? Quit looking at the things that discourage us and start looking at the things that encourage us. Like Paul, the dear saint knew the secret of the strength and satisfaction in knowing Christ. And not only knowing Christ, but walking with Christ on a daily basis. People tell me, they said, "My life's a mess." Well, I tell you, sometimes I feel like my life is a mess, but I remember who the source of my strength is, and I depend upon him. Paul was satisfied with his life. "I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be therewith to be content." He said in verses 23, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant." Now this is Paul speaking. "In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck a night and a day. And I have been in the deep. In the journeyings often, in the perils of the water, in the perils of the robbers, in the perils of mine own countrymen, in the perils by the heathen, in the perils in the city, in the perils in the wilderness, in the perils in the sea, in the perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Whew. I'm just wore out. I wasn't giving you what I wrote down. I was giving you what the Bible says. And here's a man telling us, whatsoever state you're in, to be content. And yet all those things, and even the care of the churches, the daily care of the churches. But he was not faltering. He was not stopping. He was not giving up. And despite of all of it, he was content. If you remember, Paul had another problem. The Bible refers to it as a thorn in the flesh. Many people believe it was his eyesight. Many think that it might have been his back. I don't know what it is. I just believe it was a physical thorn that he had that hindered him along the way. But you know what he said about that thorn in the flesh? He said in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 through 10, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to bust me, lest I should be exalted above measure." You know what he said? If I can explain it to you, I guess it explains it pretty good. But he said, "I don't want to be exalted above measure. God's given me some revelations. God's given me a job to do. But yet he's given this here to keep me mindful of where my strength comes from." How about that? Hey, how many people pray, "Lord, just give me a thorn in the flesh. I know that'll help me." It probably will. And you need to understand, if you do have a thorn in the flesh, and many of you do have a thorn in the flesh, to understand that we pray and pray and pray, but if it's not God's will, it'll not happen. We find he said in verse 8, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." He said, "I asked him, I prayed three times and said, Lord, please remove it. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in the infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he is strong." I'm grateful today that amid his suffering, imprisonment, and loneliness, Paul was able to say his grace. And can I say to you today, God's grace is sufficient for every person in this building. The only problem is you've got to make him your Lord of your life. If you're not saved, you need to be saved, because you'll never find, I don't believe anybody ever finds contentment that is lost. I don't believe they'll ever find contentment as long as they're lost. But if they get saved by the grace of God, they can be content, because it's all about Christ and what he can do. Paul was satisfied with the Lord. In Philippians 1:21, he said, "For me to live is Christ." In Philippians, and in Philippians 1:21 also, he said, "For me, living itself is Christ." So Paul knew the difference between living and existing. You ever heard somebody like that say, "I'm just existing"? Well, you need to understand today, we're not just existing. We're here for a purpose. And I believe with all my heart, I believe God works in strange, mysterious ways. But God's not going to take us out of here until he's totally finished with us. And until that time, he's going to keep supplying our need. I'm going to tell you, the happiest I've been, I can honestly say, the last 50 years has been the greatest years of my life. There were some years that I wandered and strayed, but thank God I realized the importance of coming back and following Christ and being obedient to him, and found out that he could make everything right in my life, and he could make me contented with all I had. An older preacher remained contented and cheerful a long time. He'd gone through long periods of trial. But as somebody asked him one day, "What's the secret of contentment?" He said, "I tell you, I use my eyes. First, I look to the heaven, and I remember the principal business is getting there. I've looked with my eyes, and I've looked to heaven, and I realize the principal business is getting there." Do you know today that you're going to heaven when you die? That's what he's saying. I looked at heaven and remembered that my principal business was getting there. And the way you do that, of course, go through the plan of salvation, go through the Lord Jesus Christ, asking to save you and to come into your heart. Then he said, "I look down at the earth and think how small a place I shall occupy when I'm dead and buried." Have you ever thought about that? I heard somebody today talking about how big closets were. We ain't going to need no closet. We die. We're just going to have a little 6x8 hole. That casket's going to be there. He looked with his eyes, and he thought about what he better do before that time come. And then I looked around, and I see many who are worse off than I am in all respects. Then I remember where true happiness lies, where all our cares end, and how little reason I have to complain. Boy, what a great testimony. Great preacher, didn't know him, but he surely was a great man of God, no doubt. The preacher had learned to be content with what he saw around him. Friend, today, people go through life, some trying to step over others, step on others. It makes no difference to them. But when Christ comes in, it can make a life-changing decision in your life, and it can help you along the way. The second thing I want you to notice quickly, notice the reactions of contentment. He said, "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to be full and abound." Paul was saying, I've been taught the secret. Paul was saying, Paul is a slave who led to mastery over circumstances that made him a king. He could face adversity, but most importantly, he could face prosperity. Now, Paul didn't always have it bad. He had it bad enough. But I believe there was times when people took Paul into his house. I believe he went into some large homes, some nice homes back in that day. I don't know, we probably nothing compare what we have today. But they were nice things. And he knew what it was like to maybe sleep in a nice home and in a nice bed. But the majority of the time he didn't. But he had learned both ways, that I know how to be abased. Nothing is stable in this world. Overnight is all I need. Just give me one night. And listen, we realize how unstable the world is, and we could lose everything we possess overnight. Tragedy may strike, a national disaster. And by the way, praise the Lord that we were spared Helene and Milton. But it may come a day when God takes everything we have and lays it all down. Then we'll find out whether we're content. And by the way, I've seen people down in Perry, Florida, and down in Florida that was suffered during the storm. And they are seem to be at perfect peace, thankful for their lives, understanding things can be replaced. But God spared their lives. They were content just to have their life. Would you be content today with just your life? Job was another one. He knew how to be abased. When he was at the bottom pit of his life, the Bible said Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 13:15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain my integrity on ways before him." Oh, here's a way. That's great. Though he slay me, I'll trust him, and I'm going to maintain the own ways before him. I'm going to have some integrity. I'm going to have some character. This is a declaration of Job's contentment. And again, I don't have time to get into it. But again, I don't think any of us could compare to anything Job went through. I can't imagine losing all your children. I can't imagine. It's hard to imagine losing one. But I understand whatever God chooses in my life, he'll continue and I'll continue to trust him to meet every need that I have. Have we reached the point that we can release our life into God's hand, trusting in God to do his will? I tell you today, the greatest desire of my life has been to do God's will. Being in God's will makes the job a lot easier. And here we come to the complacent content. We're enjoying life at its best and enduring life's worst that is given to us. We ought to be happy in Jesus today. You said, "Preacher, you don't understand what I'm going through." I probably don't, but I tell you what Jesus does. And he has all the strength we need to enlighten us, encourage us, and help us. Are we content to have Jesus alone and nothing else? If everything you love and possess was taken away from you, would you still be content with Jesus? You remember Job's wife said, "Curse God and die." And yet here's Job saying, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So true contentment in the reaction of a contented believer. Contentment in Christ produces humility of Christ in times of prosperity. He said, "I know how to abound." What he meant by that, he said, "If I've got a little money, I know how to enjoy it and have what I got. But," he said, "if I don't have anything, I don't." Now again, many times, and most of us have heard, and again, I mentioned to you, he enjoyed hospitality of generous hosts. There was people who gave to him in order that he might minister and preach the gospel all around. But literally what he said in verses 5 through 8, and you have it there, he says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," he said, "think on these things." Now, what am I talking about? We've met a lot of times poor people. In fact, you probably say, "I know a lot of poor people." But you're not poor in Christ. But you may be poor financially. But how many people you ever heard about that was poor and went out and won the lottery? And they just went to spending and having themselves a good old time. Not every circumstance that happens. I've seen people make enough, I guess, that don't worry about. But I've seen and heard many time of people that won the lottery, had everything they wanted for about 3 or 4 years. Then the reality of taxes and insurance and all the other things begin to hit. And they end up some on the street again. Paul was saying, "Let your moderation be known unto all men." If you got it, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with having it. But again, just in moderation of what you do. He said, "The Lord is at hand." He was saying, remain humble. They honor Jesus. One of the reactions to contentment in Christ is the ability to handle times of plenty during humility and moderation. The believer who enjoys true contentment is Jesus. He remains satisfied with Him regardless of the twists and turns that come in our life. Contentment will rest in Jesus alone because He never changes. Then we go to verse 13, and I'll just take a minute with this. Notice the results of contentment. The results of contentment is I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I'm not criticizing. I'm not judging. I just hope I'm wrong. But I see these football players with, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I think their attitude is that it'll help them with their football. And I don't know what God might help them with, but if they ask sincerely, He will help them. And I believe today that we need to pray to Him, and I believe He'll pour His strength out on us in things of life if we'll realize it and understand it. When you consider it from that perspective, it means our contentment in Christ empowers us. Our contentment in Christ empowers us to live a victorious Christian life, to live for His glory. Notice, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I want to give you several things quickly, and if you have your Bibles, I'm going to begin in verse number 1 of our text. I'm going to read them real quickly. I'm not going to read the whole verse. I'll never get through. Contentment enables us to live faithfully. Therefore, my brethren, verse 1, stand fast in the Lord. Number 2, contentment enables us to live joyfully. Verse 4, in our chapter 4, verse 4, he says, the rejoice of the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Contentment enables us to live humbly. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Contentment enables us to live prayerfully. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Contentment enables us to live thankfully, with thanksgiving for what we do have. Contentment enables us to live peaceably. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Contentment enables us to live thoughtfully. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And contentment enables us to live excitingly. These things have you both learned and received and heard and seen in me. Do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is one of the greatest apostles speaking. But he said, those things which I've learned, I've received, I've heard, I've seen, but most of all, I do. He said, and the God of peace shall be with you. When we get content in Jesus, these qualities will characterize our lives. Our lives will be defined by faithfulness, joy, humility, prayer, thankfulness, peacefulness, thoughtfulness, and excellence. There's only one person today that can satisfy you. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your neighbor. It's not your friend. Only Jesus can bring contentment in your life today, whatever you're going through. And I tell you, if we ever grasp a hold of that, and that's when we have to understand the importance of following Christ, being obedient to Him, being faithful, and doing what He would call us to do, then we'll see the blessings and the peace of God upon our life. Oh, would to God today that we would be content in Jesus, because Jesus has it all. By the way, it is a sin if you are not contented, because it denies God's right to do as He will. It's sin because you're ignoring the promises of God. You're where you are, going through what you're going through, suffering what you're suffering, because it's God's best for you right now. If you're a child, if you're not a child of God, listen, there's another page for you. You need to be sure you're saved. You need to get saved, trust Christ today. If you'll come forward, I promise you, you can do that right here, right now, and know that you're going to heaven, and that'll be the beginning of your contentment. But then, as a child of God, we need to learn to live with contentment, thanking the Lord for what we do have, praying for those that perhaps don't have as much, and understanding God has blessed us way, way, way beyond measure. If you're not a believer, you're trying to be content, doing everything else, but it's not going to work. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Only He can take a life and make it whole. Hebrews 13:5 in closing, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And friend, years ago, Jesus came into my heart. He hadn't left me, and he's not going to leave me. And today, I find contentment in Jesus Christ. I trust you do. But if you don't, would you come today and let us help you that you might seek and know God's will in your life?